University
Radio Nottingham.
Hello and welcome to Girls in Pole Position on URN Sport. And first of all, I just want to say happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm going out after the show. I'm sure a lot of you will be. So I just wanted to say have fun celebrating it. But now we'll be on to what we do best, which is Formula One. So today I'm your host Gemma. I'm here with Jasmine and Amrit. We're going to just discuss all things F1 before the season kickstarts this weekend in Bahrain. So I thought we'd just get started by talking about the Bahrain testing period that has just happened. It's safe to say that there were quite a few surprises from this few-day testing. So firstly, we got to see Kevin Magnussen in the Haas after he took Nikita Mazepin's seat. Jasmine, do you think this was a good decision, or is there someone else you would rather be in his seat?
Yeah, I think this was a good decision. I was really happy when it was announced that he was going to be in the Haas, because I feel like it was unfair that he was like kicked off in 2020, and I think he definitely deserves another chance to be in F1. So I was like happy with this decision, and I personally couldn't have thought of anyone else who deserved it more.
I have to agree. The only person I would have thought was Nico Hülkenberg, but I mean, we get to see him at Bahrain with Aston Martin anyway, because unfortunately Vettel has tested positive for COVID, so can't really complain because we still get to see him in a race. But I think Magnussen just makes sense because he knows the team, he knows Gunther, who isn't the easiest man to work with, we all know, and yeah, he'll know how to perform well with that team, which I think he really deserves a second chance at. Amrit, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad to see him get a second chance. I think Hülkenberg as well, but I'm glad that he is going to be there this weekend, although I'm sad that Vettel won't be. Obviously, we all have a soft spot for Vettel.
We all wish it was rather Lance who had COVID. Sorry, yeah. Lance, wishing COVID on you, but...
I mean, it would have been nice to potentially see another F2 driver get a chance, but I think with Haas in particular, it is about knowing the car and knowing Gunther and everything, especially with the team struggling as they do. It's good to have someone experienced in that car, so I think it is a good choice.
I definitely agree with they needed some experience. I mean, they went for two rookies last year and it didn't go too great, did it? But I think with last year, just they had not enough experience on the team. They had two people who'd never driven a Formula One car in their life, and obviously Magnussen has years of Formula One experience and more importantly Haas experience, so I think that's going to really, really help them. And I think Mick will learn a lot from him as well, being able to look up to him as a more experienced driver. Jasmine, were you surprised, following on from this, how well Haas actually performed in this testing period? Because I don't think anyone was expecting much of them again this year after last year, and then Magnussen just comes out and pulls out the fastest time in testing in his first time driving an F1 car in over a year. Were you surprised at this?
Well, I wasn't surprised that they were doing better than last year, because I feel like there was no way they could have done worse.
Is that true?
And I knew that they said they were putting more money and like more time into the car this year, so I was expecting like better results from them, but I wasn't expecting them to be this good. Like, I wasn't expecting Schumacher to be getting like the best lap after Verstappen and stuff, so that was really good. And the fact that they've like come back fighting, and hopefully but they might be like strong midfield contenders this year. I feel like it's hard to know, because with testing, like, everything changes once the racing actually starts. But I feel like Haas might be scoring a few more points this year, hopefully. I don't know if that's too bold of a thing to say, but yeah,
that's I think that's reasonable. I agree. I think that Haas will get some points finishes, maybe not podiums or anything, but I mean, definitely maybe like a few, like 7th place, 8th place, maybe even a 6th, who knows. But I definitely think they'll be a lot better. That kind of follows on to my next question, which I'm gonna come to you for, Amrit. Do you think that Haas will be fighting the midfield next year based on this, or do you think they're gonna kind of just be stuck at the bottom, kind of fighting Williams and Alfa Romeo, but not really progressing much past that?
I mean, I think, again, with it being testing, it is hard to know exactly, because things do change and everything. But I think with the money that they've invested in this car, considering they invested like nothing last year, I'd hope that they're sort of fighting the midfield a little bit and not just stuck at the back the whole time. But I mean, I have some expectations, but not a lot. I do think that they'll be stuck at the back for the majority. Like, that is just my gut. But they won't be as much as at the back as they were last time. But I think with Magnussen on the team, I think that is going to help, rather than having Mazepin.
Yeah, definitely, I'd agree. And I think with this year. It's a bit, it's interesting because last year there weren't really any rookies in the bottom teams except for Haas. Like, I know Yuki Tsunoda was at AlphaTauri, but they were a bit more like midfield compared to Haas, Williams and Alfa Romeo. But now Alfa Romeo have a rookie in Guan Yu Zhou as well. So I think it's going to be more him who's struggling the most, in my opinion. I think he's going to have a bit of a rough start, as they quite often do getting into Formula One when they struggle to kind of adapt to the car. So I think Haas definitely aren't going to be right at the back in terms of like where the championship ends, but I'm not expecting brilliant things, but you know, even a few points finishes is brilliant compared to last year, so we'll see what happens. So now I want to move on to a different team, Ferrari, who seemed absolutely unstoppable during the testing period, but by the end of the 3 days it was actually Max who topped the timing boards. And there was a lot of doubt about how good Red Bull were going to be this season after putting pretty much every effort they could have done into last year. So now it's kind of a, I don't know really who's on top now, because Ferrari seems so strong, but now I'm thinking maybe Red Bull still have it. Jasmine, what do you think? Do you think Red Bull could still be championship contenders, or do you think Ferrari are going to outperform them?
I do definitely think that Red Bull will still be championship contenders, because they know that after what happened last season, Mercedes and Hamilton are going to come this year with everything they've got. They know that Hamilton is going to fight to claim his eighth world championship, and that they've got to, Red Bull have got to do everything they have possible in order to like hold on to that title this year. So I think Red Bull are going to come at it with everything they've got, even though they did put a lot of into it last year. I think they're going to come at it even more. And in terms of Ferrari, I think they'll be like within the top three. I think they will be contenders, but I don't think that they will like win. Like, I feel like there's no way between Max Verstappen and Hamilton that Ferrari are going to suddenly like win over both of them. But yeah, I don't know. It's difficult to say really, but I think Red Bull will still definitely be contending. But I have a feeling, I don't know if this is just being wishful, but that Hamilton will win this year, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I do as well. I think with Ferrari, there's not really much hope of them winning the drivers' championship. I don't think they're on that level. The one thing I was wondering with them is constructors. Like, they've got a very, very good lineup, and I think with Mercedes, I don't know if constructors will go their way this year, because obviously George doesn't have as much experience, so maybe he might take more time getting used to it, and it might be a bit too late for, like, when he does fully get the hang of the car, it might be a bit late for them to be doing constructors. Obviously Max and Checo couldn't get constructors last year, so I feel like Ferrari might stand a chance, just because Charles and Carlos are such a good pairing and they're both as good as each other. But I mean, we'll see. But I definitely don't think they'll be contending for the drivers' championship, but constructors is where I'm a bit more hopeful. Amrit, what do you kind of expect from Red Bull this year?
Well, I think they're definitely going to be competing. I would not be surprised if it's as close as it was last year, especially with Hamilton coming back fighting. I agree with Jasmine. I want a Hamilton win.
Me too.
But like, everyone does. I mean, let's be honest. I think, though, especially with Mercedes' performance, which I think we'll come on to later, I know that they might be lying to the media, saying that thing they're not good in the championship running. Like, I think that is a lie, let's be honest. But yeah, if there are issues with the car, then it gives Red Bull the advantage. So I do think that they're in the running for constructors as well this year, Red Bull. I feel like they would have put a lot of effort into that. But I agree, I do think Ferrari are going to be up there. And I'm excited to see the Ferrari and McLaren fight again, because I know in Drive to Survive, that's what they always go on about when I was watching it, so that just brought it to mind. But yeah, I do think Red Bull do stand a good chance. And I think it, in a lot of ways, it will just be like last year, like Hamilton versus Verstappen. No matter what any changes anyone else wants, like Ferrari or anything, I think it just will be Mercedes and Red Bull mostly.
Yeah, it's really hard to predict. I do think, as Jasmine said, Ferrari will probably win that battle with McLaren, and I think Ferrari will be in the top three. But it's impossible to know. It's hard to know how Daniel Ricciardo is going to respond to the car this year after last year. So it's even impossible to say. But I think Ferrari will definitely outshine McLaren based on testing. But yeah, you mentioned something that I was actually going to move on to about Hamilton. We all know that a lot of teams tend to sandbag in testing, which means, for anyone who is not aware, that they don't perform to their full ability so that the other teams don't know the full potential of their car. And we've all seen Lewis Hamilton's comments these past few days saying that Mercedes aren't looking like they're going to be competing for wins this year. To be honest, I don't believe it for a second. Jasmine, what are your thoughts on those comments that he made?
Yeah, there is no way he is being truthful there. I feel like Hamilton and Mercedes do this every year where they always say, oh, we're not going to do that well this year. Like, we haven't got it down. And then they just pull it out of the bag as soon as the racing actually starts and just amaze everyone with how good they are.
Yeah, they literally always win at Bahrain, like, first race of the season. It's like, okay, cool, yeah. Well, where did that come from?
And I feel like this year, like, no one believes it. Like, I've seen loads of people on Twitter saying that it's all just cop. And I think it was Carlos who, like, made a comment saying that it was just, like,
so Lando. I think Lando said
that they do it every year. I think
they do it every year.
No one is buying it, so I don't think this tactic is working anymore. Like, everyone knows not to underestimate Mercedes.
Yeah, I just think, like, I mean, even Ferrari, when Ferrari were topping testing, they were like, oh, like, you know, we might not be the fastest, like, you know, we don't know yet. And I think everyone just tries to downplay it. But with Hamilton, yeah, I think he tries not to get too optimistic, and he tries to downplay it to the media, like, just so the hype isn't too high, because I think there must be a lot of pressure on you if everyone's hyping you up, and then, like, there must be a lot of pressure to go into the first race and really perform well. Amrit, what are your thoughts on Hamilton's comments and whether you think that Mercedes are going to be any good this year?
I mean, I mentioned it briefly earlier, but, like, I do think they have to say that to keep, like, a straight face to the media, and I don't really believe Hamilton fully with his comments, and, like, the way he's been saying it, like, he just seems, like, he just has a little smile at the end of his interviews. I've seen, and, like, it's just that he knows that, like, they're not going to be that bad. I mean, I don't think they're going to be as good as previous years, like, looking at the actual car itself, and especially the new regulations. I don't think anyone is going to, like, be as confident in the car as they were in previous years, but I don't think they're going to be all that bad where they're, like, at the bottom of the field. They'll definitely be in championship contention, I think.
Also, yeah, I'd agree.
I feel like he'll say something in an interview like that, and then it just gets taken out of context, and it just gets blown up across social media and, like, other publications picking up, and it's like, Hamilton said that they're not going to win this year. And I feel like it just becomes this thing to get everyone talking about it, when maybe he didn't really mean it in that way, or it's just something he said offhandedly.
Yeah, and then people just get carried away and kind of quote him out of context.
Yeah, so I do think with, like, the F1 fans as well, they do read into everything a lot, like, on Twitter and everything. Like, someone will say, like, a 5-word sentence, it will be taken out of context and Drive to Survive with the dramatic music, it will be blasted all over Twitter, like, all the commentators are going off about it. Like, it's like, you just have to look at things from a broader perspective in context, I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think with F1, loads of things are taken out of context, and we'll talk about that a bit more later when we talk about Drive to Survive. But for now, I feel like it follows on quite well from testing to start talking about some of our predictions for this weekend. For anyone who doesn't know, the first race of the season will be happening this Sunday in Bahrain, where they've just finished the testing. So I feel like it's quite a good time to make some predictions, seeing as we've now seen all the cars on that track a few days ago. Obviously, we won't know the true, real performance of the cars until we see them out in action in qualifying on Saturday. But Amrit, if you were to make any predictions whatsoever, what do you think? Do you know who you think is going to come out on top?
I'd like to think Hamilton, but my brain is saying Verstappen. Like, I just don't think that it's going to be some, like, rogue driver who everyone doesn't expect. At least not in the first race.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Bahrain pattern might follow for Mercedes, so who knows.
Yeah, like, Mercedes, I feel like, do always do well at the start of the season, and I feel like sometimes it tails off a bit towards the end, or sometimes, you know, they really get better throughout the season, like when they had their battle with Ferrari, and Ferrari just completely lost it in the second half of the season and just completely just lost any performance that they had in the first half. So it is really hard to predict, because even if a team's good at the start, it doesn't mean they're going to maintain that whatsoever. But yeah, I think for me, I'm hoping it's a Hamilton win, but time will tell. I think once we see qualifying, we'll be able to say a lot more predictions that are a bit more based in fact rather than just speculation. Jasmine, do you have any predictions at all?
Well, I still think Mercedes will come out on top. Like, I think they're going to do well in Bahrain because they always do. And I think overall for the whole championship, well, I mean, again, this is just wishful, but I really think that what happened last year has kind of lit a fire in Hamilton, and he's like, okay, I need to, like, pull it out of the bag this year if I want to claim my eighth title. So I think he is going to push it with everything he has, and hopefully, like, he will win. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how George Russell does as well, and see, like, how he does in a Mercedes. Like, it'll be interesting to see what kind of teammates he and Lewis are going to be and how they work together and whether he'll be able to get many podiums. And I think Ferrari will be doing quite well, hopefully, and
fingers crossed.
I'm not too sure about the Williams, to be honest. I'm not really too sure how they're gonna do, but
I'm hoping with Albon in the car, like, he was a decent driver,
that is true.
Hoping that he can bring that to Williams, especially with Williams being like a bit of a lower down team. I do think that there's going to be crashes. I know April sent in a prediction saying that she thought there'd be crashes.
I hope so.
not serious crashes. Few little spins, few into the wall.
Just, you know,
the rookies will be spinning.
Oh, 100%. Guan Yu Zhou off on the first corner like Mazepin.
No one can be worse than Mazepin, though.
Oh, God, imagine if he is. I don't know, like, with Guan Yu Zhou, like, I think he's a good driver, but the fact that he had to do so many years in Formula 2 to get to this point, like, you know, you've got your Oscar Piastris, your Charles Leclerc, your George Russell, who just won F2 in their rookie season and then just went straight on to F1. Guan Yu Zhou's not that, and we know he's not that because he did about 3 years in Formula 2, but, I mean, even Mazepin was on track for third in Formula 2 before it kind of went a bit downhill for him and he ended up fifth. But I think with Guan Yu Zhou, I'm not sure what to expect, to be honest. I truly do think he could be off first corner. And I think in testing, the Alfa Romeo didn't seem too reliable.
No, it seemed quite bad.
It seemed like it had pace, but then it was very unreliable and just seemed like, I mean, they barely did any laps in testing, I think, in the end, compared to other teams, because, like, they just kept having problems. And that leads on to kind of another driver I wanted to mention, is Valtteri Bottas. What do we think is going to happen with him this year? Because, I mean, I very boldly said on our Formula One group chat earlier today that I hope he gets a podium, but
I don't think that will happen in Alfa Romeo.
Wishful thinking. Let me be.
If he does get a podium, it would be like once, and it would be because both Verstappen and Hamilton have crashed.
It's because the rest of the grid crashed.
It'll be an Ocon situation.
I think he'll still do relatively well in Alfa Romeo. He might get some points, and I feel like he'll just be a lot happier, and it'll be good to, like, see him there.
I think he could get some points. Maybe like some P7, P8s, hopefully, is my aim for him. Because I do think, you know, his mental health clearly wasn't great at Mercedes based on the way they were treating him. And I just think, you know, even if he's in a bad car, he is a good driver. So just, like, his mentality will be, if he could perform in a Mercedes with that, like, negative mentality, and he could perform that well in that car, even though he was struggling, I think put him in a bad car with a good mentality and he might still be able to do well. Like,
exactly. He's all about mindset.
Exactly. And, like, if he can still perform when he's not being treated well and he's not, you know, enjoying his time there, if he can still perform well then surely he's going to be able to perform well when he's being treated well.
Yeah, I feel like he will bring a lot to the team and kind of I think bring more support to it as well, because everyone wants to see Bottas do well.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like he's a really good replacement to Kimi, and not just because he's finished. I know I did call Alfa Romeo's finished retirement home when it got announced, but, you know, it worked for Kimi. I know Kimi wasn't, you know, anywhere near his best when he was at Alfa Romeo, but I think it worked for him in terms of just how he ended up, like, just kind of, like, enjoying the sport. And as he said, like, he doesn't have to do it if he didn't have to. Like, if he didn't want to, he didn't have to do it. And I think he was just doing it for fun. And I think that's what Bottas needs.
Yeah, definitely.
He needs to just have some fun.
He needs to, like, reclaim his love for it.
Exactly. Because I think Mercedes have kind of tainted his passion a bit.
This is URN.
Hello and welcome back to Girls in Pole Position. Now, I teased before that we had a very exciting Formula One related experience yesterday, and now we're joined by Jack, who also had that same experience.
I did get to enjoy that experience.
And now I'll reveal what it was. We saw the Red Bull racing car at David Ross. Anyone who was on campus or near David Ross will have seen it, because there were crowds of people. It was very, very busy. And the Red Bull team also came to market their career opportunities to students. Jasmine, I'll start with you. What did you think to seeing the car in person?
Well, I thought it was quite cool to see the car, because I've never seen an actual F1 car in person before, so that was quite cool. And it was like good seeing like all the design up close, and I like the matte finish and all that. But I was a bit underwhelmed by the whole experience, because I was expecting Red Bull to do more. Like, I was expecting them to have more stands and more freebies and be, like, talk to us more about it. But they didn't seem that, like, interested in talking to us. They just handed us a QR code and a free Red Bull drink, and off we went. So, yeah, I don't know. I felt it was good being able to see the car, but I feel like they could have definitely done more. And I really wanted to sit in it, but obviously I couldn't.
I think... Well, I thought it was cool that it was the 2022 car, because it was obviously nice to see it in person. But then I was also a little bit disappointed it was a copy of the car rather than the real one. Obviously, I know it's in Bahrain. I know it can't be here right now. But, like, I've been to museums before, quite recently, last summer, and I saw, like, old Williams cars that were, like, the genuine, like, you know, the Mansell Championship-winning Williams, like, the genuine thing. So I was just a bit, like, knowing that it was a copy, I was a bit, like, it's not quite the same, but it was still very cool. Jack, what did you think?
Well, you've really just ruined that for me now, haven't you? I didn't know that.
I'm so sorry.
No, I thought... I've just remembered that I have seen one before. I went to... when I was, like, eight. I went on holiday to France. We went to Paris. And there's the... Is it... What team is it that
Renault
has one on the
Renault? Oh, I thought you were going to say what team is French.
On the Champs-Élysées, there was one in, like, a, I think it was McLaren.
Yeah, maybe.
It might have been McLaren.
I just said Renault because French. I was like instantly on it.
I don't know. I honestly can't remember. And I remember that one looked, in my memory, that was so much bigger, but then I was eight, so I was a lot smaller. But I was surprised at how small it was. I thought it would be bigger. I knew the tyres were going to be big, because
tyres were big.
I think I might have heard you guys on your podcast that, like, the tyres have they got bigger this year?
I think so, yeah, they have.
I heard someone say that, and I was like, okay, so the tyres are going to be big. But then the actual car itself, I was like, oh, that's, yeah. But now, was it to scale, even though
it was
a copy?
Yes, I think it was an identical scale copy of the car that they're racing in Bahrain.
Well, that's a shame. I would have been much more hyped up even if they'd have just give it a rev or something. Like,
yeah.
I thought as well, just in general, because obviously the cars I've seen are all like 90s or early 2000s, kind of mid 2010s cars, nothing from like this newer era. And I was just expecting it to be bigger, because I know for this new era they've said that the cars are just in general getting bigger. So I was like, kind of, I didn't notice it that much. I only noticed it with the tires, like you said, and also the side pods, which were as huge as they look on TV, to be fair. Amrit, what were your thoughts? Did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah, I did enjoy seeing a car, because I've never seen one in person before. Like, I haven't been to a race or anything, sadly. So, like, it's actually seeing a car in person was cool. But I was like Jasmine, like, I just thought more would happen, or like they'd like give it a rev or something. Like, I just sort of went, stood there, stared at it. It was like, cool. Like, now what?
It was also chucking it down.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what time you went, Jack, but we went at about 3. And it was, the rain was like at its worst at that time.
Well, I had an IMS football game, which was at 1:30. So I got there, saw it on the way in, saw it on the way out. I'm pretty sure I saw people still stood there that weren't like Red Bull. So I was like, not being funny, it's a car. It's not moving. Just take a picture and leave.
That's kind of what we did.
But no, yeah. it was chucking it down. It wasn't actually raining when I got there. And I was like, oh yeah, play football. It's not raining. It's all right. And then by the time we finished, I was absolutely soaked and was really not enthused about going to see it again. So I was like, yeah, we'll just move past now.
It's kind of like, you've seen it, it's cool, it's great, but it's not the same as like seeing the cars in action.
No.
That is definitely not on that level. Or like seeing the car, like, you know, like I've been to like race days at Donington Park, which is right near where I live, and like, you know, sometimes you get to walk through the paddock and you get to see the cars like straight after they've raced, and it's kind of like, oh, that's cool, because I just watched that one in the race. But with this, it was like we hadn't seen it race, so it was a bit like, oh, I kind of want to see it move. But like, I wanted to see them do a little test run. But I mean, I was expecting personally, I didn't Max. Really go inside day. I would have cried if Max, no, I would have punched Max for ruining Lewis's championship. Yeah. But no, like, I was expecting them to have a few more like things going on. Like, I thought they'd have a few like people to talk to and stalls and stuff like that going on. I didn't actually go inside David Ross much, but I didn't see
there
anything.
Was nothing. There was nothing in there.
Yeah, I thought there'd be a bit more interactive stuff going on.
They made it sound like it was going to be like this massive Red Bull fair, and it was going to
be. Yeah, I was here,
like music blasting as we're walking up.
Thought there might be like a. Like, obviously, it's not going to be anyone from the actual, like, pit team or anything, but, like, an engineer or a designer or something, or, do you know what I mean? Like, not even necessarily high up the food chain, just someone that had a little bit of a hand in it would have been cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, then think about it as well. You could have talked to... You could have approached so many, like, different student areas as well, because you could have actually got in with, like, engineering courses and, I mean, do we do technical drawing here? I don't know.
Yeah, my housemate does it. Yeah, it's design. She does loads of, like, digital drawing stuff, yeah.
So, you know, that would
it's
have
really
been good.
Cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like, because I know she's spoken to me before about F1-related stuff, like, in terms of placements and stuff like that. So it's definitely, like, a course that does lead on to that. So the fact that we have a course that's so closely linked to Formula One, like, potentially, and
even like chemical engineering as well.
Yeah, like I know so many people from mechanical who are applying for internships, like placement years at like Williams, McLaren, everything. So yeah, they could have like got a wide applicant pool if they actually had people here.
We were having a bit of a debate while we were looking at the car, because our friend Georgia, shout out to her, she said that she seeing the car made her want to abandon her morals and work for Red Bull, even though she doesn't agree with the way they do things sometimes. So we were having a bit of this chat when we were looking at the car. Which team, Jack, would you, if you could choose an F1 team to work for, is there a team that you'd think, yeah, that's the one?
Oh, no, you're testing me now. I know nowhere near as much as you guys do about F1, so I mean,
you know, McLaren.
Well, yeah, and obviously I know who's dominant and everything now. I don't know. Well, I didn't realise that so many of them were based in Britain.
Oh yeah, yeah,
So I
half the grid.
I figured, just because I knew McLaren was back in the day, and I also knew that there used to be McLaren Mercedes as well, and obviously then Mercedes did their own thing.
Yeah.
So then I assume McLaren still would be. I guess Aston Martin probably would still be based there, and Williams I knew was as well. But like, Mercedes is in Oxford, and
Red Bull's in Milton Keynes.
Yeah, exactly. I was just really surprised.
Over off the grid.
So I was going to say a one that's based in Britain, but they're all based in Britain. So,
like, take your pick.
Yeah,
literally.
I don't know. I mean, Mercedes would be cool because it's Mercedes.
Yeah,
but,
just, yeah.
If you were, but then on the roads, Mercedes drivers are a bit annoying. So
they are. My dad's a Mercedes driver.
Yeah, same as my parents.
No offense, guys. Well, they could be exceptions. Do they know what indicators are?
Yeah,
that's more BMW. If we're being honest, that's more BMW. And I have BMW drivers in my family that I'm perfectly happy with offending. So I don't know. Maybe I'll say Aston Martin, just because James Bond.
Yeah, and their car's livery is by far the nicest looking, so...
Yeah, true. Yeah. And, you know, Vettel is also a legend, getting to meet him
would be
cool.
We're talking about how disappointed he's not in... He's not going to be racing this weekend because he's got COVID.
Oh, he's in my team.
Ah! Get him out your fantasy team now. You've got time. He might... I think it will automatically replace him with Nico Hülkenberg, because he's racing in Vettel's place this weekend, but... you might want someone who's got
fantasy
a bit more
F1. There we go.
Got a bit more experience in the car. We were going to talk about fantasy as well a bit, because I knew you're doing the fantasy.
I need to set up my team.
Can you actually not, because then I might do all right.
Give us a chance, Gemma's
already in, and I think the Holy Trinity boys are already in as well, so
they
I'm
are.
Already coming
yes,
like
they are.
At least fifth, no, fourth.
I nearly won it last year. I did it with my brother, and I nearly won it, and then in the last race I put Hamilton in instead of Verstappen, and I lost the whole thing because of that.
That's very frustrating.
And I'm still not over it. I'm really still not over it.
To be fair, I would have put Hamilton in.
Yeah. I had Verstappen in it the whole way through, and then I changed it to Hamilton in the last race because I was convinced Hamilton was going to win it.
Did your brother have Verstappen then?
Yeah, he did. I think he had Verstappen, like, and then who else did well in that race? Like, he had someone else who came, like, third or something. I was like, well, I don't stand a chance.
I might have taken him out.
I took him out.
Well, I spoke to my friend from home, Cal, because I told him I was coming on this show, and he's a huge F1 fan. This year, for his 21st, he is going to Barcelona and then Monaco the week after.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
That's insane.
That's a lot of money as well.
Well,
that's an insane
the Barcelona one is delayed. One of them is delayed because of COVID. So it was bought quite a while ago. But I put Tsonder in, which I thought he was like a bit of an up and comer, and like he was quite promising and sort of got he placed quite regularly. I knew he wasn't much of a winner, and then he was like, yeah, nah. I was like, oh great. So he's not lived up to his potential then. But I did put, so I might have to have a bit of a change around. I went for Mick Schumacher, who is apparently, this is second year, right?
Coming into his second year.
Apparently he might actually pull his finger out a bit. And also, I know he told me that, I think you told me this on message as well, Gemma, that Haas had been, they've got the quickest practice times.
In testing, they were really good. Yeah,
I went for Russell because Hamilton was so expensive.
I put Russell in. Ridiculously. Hamilton and Verstappen are both so expensive.
And then I went Leclerc.
Yep, me too.
I just used what money I had left over for an Alfa Romeo driver. His name's
Guanyu Zhou.
Yeah, that one.
Your pronunciations are funny.
That was purely for, am I the most northern on this show, or
most of us are pretty local to here. Jasmine's southern, so yeah, you are. Yeah.
I'm from Not, so you're, where are you?
I'm near Hull.
You're very northern compared to us,
Okay. But then I looked at the points that were gained by constructors in comparison to actual drivers. So Lewis was about 835 points last year, but Mercedes was over 1,000. So I was like, surely you've got to go for the constructor.
Yeah.
Because then if Lewis does well anyway, I'll get points.
Yeah.
So I've gone, and then my constructor is Mercedes.
I think that's a good strat, because I've spent too much on the drivers.
Yeah.
And I've had to put Aston Martin as my constructor, I am not happy about, but I might change it before the weekend. But for now... I feel like I'm revealing a big secret. Everyone's going to copy my team, aren't they? Because everyone thinks that girls in pole position are going to do so well in this. Everyone's going to be trying to copy me.
I did also hear Alex Duke's team, and I was like, yeah, that does sound good, actually.
Leclerc and Sainz, love them both.
Yeah, apparently Sainz is going to do quite well this year.
I hope so. Lando Norris is in mine.
Yeah, I want to put
George Russell, and I think I put Maxim, and then Aston Martin as mine.
I would have done the same as you, driver-wise, generally.
Yeah, same.
All you'll be able to afford by the end is Aston Martin.
Oh, yeah, I might have just thought Verstappen for someone else then.
Yeah, I went like drivers who I knew would at least place, and I think Russell and Leclerc will probably pick up. I didn't watch a lot last season, but the ones I caught, because my granddad is a big F1 fan, he always has been. To be fair, I was when I was younger as well. I had a boiler suit, my granddad got a load of Ferrari stickers, and we put them on it. And that's, I hated dressing up when I was a kid, so any fancy dress parties, I'd go as Michael Schumacher.
That's amazing,
genius.
So I was a Ferrari fan back then, clearly, but then I was a. I actually liked Jenson Button for quite a while, but I think that's just because he was quite funny.
Yeah, he's a decent
because every time he was on Top Gear, I thought he made me laugh, so...
I did. I loved a bit of Top Gear. I still do. You know, the classic old-school Top Gear.
Yeah.
I know the moral side of Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah, it's not the best. I also... I mean, saying that, I loved Clarkson's Farm as well.
Funny.
I binge-watched that when I came home from pub golf once, and I just found it hilarious.
It's so good.
No, I watched, like, 5 episodes with my housemates, and we were just, like, sitting there really...
whilst drunk?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I could put up with him while I was drunk.
It was just funny. We were just,
I've never watched him drunk.
We were just cracking up watching him trying to breed sheep.
Watch this programme.
As on Amazon so Prime.
But yeah, no, that's enough Jeremy Clarkson. I think we'll see how we all do on fantasy. But I mean, after my shocking loss last year, I'm a bit scared. I feel like there's pressure on us. Because we have an F1 podcast.
People there definitely is. No, yeah. There's absolutely no pressure on me.
The amount of people who said to us, oh, you're definitely going to win. I'm like, hang on a sec. Don't assume that. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's scary. I'm definitely not going to win.
I would definitely not win.
To be fair, there's quite a lot of F1 fans in the station.
Yeah.
Just maybe not no one that actually puts in the effort that you guys do. Talk about it. But because I know when I was listening to the Chatting Like Duke's 24-hour show the other day, which was Monday, wasn't it? I know April came on to talk about F1.
Yeah.
And then obviously both Alexes were talking about it. I think Kieran talked about it a bit. I don't know if Pav did. And I know Dom Allen doesn't like F1.
Dom's the biggest F1 hater.
He has a strong hatred of it.
I'm not confident going in. Unless my sacrificing money for the constructor proves
right.
That might
be a strategy.
That is a good strategy.
Imagine the boy that's not really watched F1 since he was about 10.
God. I will be fuming. I'm not going to lie. At least when my brother beat me, my brother watches it as much as I do. So it's like, okay, well, that's at least fair. There's that.
Yeah.
But if someone who barely watches it beats us, it's going to be embarrassing.
Well, I'm going to start watching it this year.
Yeah.
The problem being is when... Because I'm a big Liverpool fan, so if they're playing Champions League, then they'll be playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which usually often clashes.
You've got the Knotts one this weekend.
Well, I can't go to that because I'll be at Sam Fender.
Oh, that's a good sacrifice.
That's a good excuse not to go.
That's valid.
So the last thing we were going to talk about on the show, Jack, is Drive to Survive. You know, the Formula One Netflix show. Have you seen any?
I haven't, because someone told me that some of the plot lines are staged.
That links on to what I'm going to talk about. And
Well, where's the point then? If I was watching something like that, I don't want it to be staged, because they're not actors, so you can tell. So it's a bit like, why bother? It's an interesting sport. Why not just make a documentary?
There's also the issue of even in the newest season, which I've seen, Amrit's seen, Jasmine hasn't quite yet, but I'm going to ask you about your expectations and predictions. So it works quite well.
Well, don't spoil
us.
It then.
I mean, it's hard to spoil it when I already
knows. She knows, well, yeah. Everyone already knows what happens.
because a point I was going to say about this season myself is I feel like it's been more of a season review rather than actually getting into too much behind the scenes stuff. So it's kind of like a lot of the episodes were just like recaps of the races, and it's like, yeah, I know, I watched it.
Well, isn't it like not in chronological order though?
Yeah, as well. They mentioned
that last dramatic race. Why would you not end with that?
They do end with the last one.
Oh, do they? Okay, right.
But like throughout, they play the same races as well.
They
won't play like all 20 like bits of them. They'll just play like three,
and then they played like Monaco in two episodes. Yeah. And it's like, I've seen that. Like it's just from a different team's perspective, but it's like, I've seen...
They just show the different crashes from different angles.
Yeah, they do. George Russell going through that Eau Rouge corner at Spa about six times. But yeah, so before we spoil too much, Jasmine, I will come to you and ask, what are you expecting from Drive to Survive Season 4? And are you looking forward to it?
Well, I am looking forward to it, but... I don't have high expectations because I've heard you guys and I've heard other people say that it's not great. That it's just a season review rather than any behind the scenes stuff that makes the show good. And I have heard that it's quite repetitive and boring. And so I don't have high expectations, but I'm still going to watch it when I get the time, hopefully when my essay is done. And I am looking forward to seeing more George Russell, because he wasn't in it that much in the past seasons. And I've heard that he's in it more this season. I think there's an episode between him and... Bottas, and they like try and like show a rivalry between them or something, claiming for the Mercedes seat. But I am excited to see like some interviews with George, so that will be good. And also, Gemma, I saw you mention that Susie Wolf is in it, so I'm kind of looking forward to seeing like that more representation of women in the sport and how they contribute to it and how they sort of are a part of it. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to, but I don't have high hopes, so I'll get back to you when I've actually seen it what my thoughts are.
Yeah, I did tweet about Susie Wolf being in it, and that was actually something I had planned to ask to you, Amrit. Actually, I thought Susie Wolf was brilliant in it. I thought she, with Toto, like he's a very complex man, and he's got a lot going on a lot of the time in his head. And I think, you know, having his wife there, who is also involved in motorsport, she has a team in Formula E, she's clearly like involved with Toto's kind of running of the team in Formula One. I thought she gave a really great insight into his job and what he does and like what he's like outside of his job as well. What did you think to like kind of what she brought to the show?
Yeah, I agree. I think she was a great addition because it shows that there are women behind the scenes as well. Because I did think that about Drive to Survive in the past seasons, like they don't show any of the women behind the sport or in the sport. But I did like that angle, and also like seeing the team principals from like a day-to-day perspective in general. Like they showed it with other ones as well, like Gunter as well. But yeah, it's good to see it from that angle and to show like the human side to them,
especially now Claire's gone as well,
and not the stern like media side you always see to the team principals and all their rivalries and everyone just like saying bad things about them to
I think with Claire Williams having left at the end of the last season of Drive to Survive, I think it was the year before, I can't remember, but anyway, but she's not been in it for some time because she left her position at Williams, and I think, you know, they needed another woman who's involved in Formula One to kind of provide some commentary now that Claire is no longer there. We are now joined by Emily as well, because Hello. Jack and Emily have been doing their 24-hour show for Comic Relief Forever. Today.
Let's go get a burger.
It's got to be done. You can't do 24 hours without eating. How's it all been going?
It's been going really well.
It's been really good.
We've had quite a lot of guests, which has been nice. Kind of worried that that's probably going to pitter out a little bit come, you know, 4 a.m.
Yeah. Maybe.
But no, it's been going really well. We've been doing
that.
No, we haven't argued yet. No,
that's good.
Peter has dipped out because he had opera tickets, and as soon as he's already paid for said opera tickets, we weren't going to make him miss it.
I mean, fair enough.
Also, it'd be nice to talk about when he gets back. I mean, not that we're particularly versed on opera, but.
No, but we asked him for a rendition when he gets back.
Yes, we have. And we have we have also decided that it's going to lead us into a musicals hour. So if anyone's a fan of a musical, then tune in. Not sure, that'll be about 10-ish. So if anyone's still
awake. It's not at 4 a.m. Before 4 a.m. would be ideal. And you're not very versed on opera. I've already spoken to Jack a bit about F1, Emily. How versed are you on F1?
I'm not particularly. So I'm a massive Speedway fan. Which I don't know if you've ever heard of, but that's another motorsport.
I think that's probably like swearing on this show.
I'm sorry. So that's about as close as I come to in terms of my knowledge of motorsport. I occasionally like will watch the F1 if it's kind of on at a pub or something and I happen to be there. But yeah, it's not something I particularly follow, so I don't know much, I'm afraid to say.
That's okay. It's nice to have people on who, like I did, you know, the NFL podcast that Dom and April do. I went on that and I have never seen any NFL whatsoever. Like, I know nothing. And I went on like being like a complete novice, and they were like playing like two truths and a lie with me and stuff like that. Like,
really
just like,
you
know, yeah, just I knew nothing. And I was like, you're trying to play me up here, because obviously I'm not going to get these right. And I actually did get one right. So I was quite impressed. Unfortunately, I don't have any two truths and a lie planned for you today, and we do not have much time left. But we've
are you
just
kidding
been...
me? I reckon I would have beat you in them. Why have you not set me up for this? Come on.
Next time.
We've got quizzes coming on later, and Em's a lot smarter than I am. So
you have to guest on Girls in Pole Position again for that. That will be on our second show together.
I mean, to be fair, you are. I mean, normally, even if it wasn't 24 hours, I would be on in 7 minutes anyway. So
there you go. There you go. So we've just been talking to Phil, Emily, and a bit. We've just been talking about Drive to Survive, which is actually a great way to get into Formula One if you don't know much about it. But my last point I really wanted to make about the show is the fact that Max Verstappen didn't feature in it because he declared it was fake and dramatised. As Jack was saying before, the plot lines are a bit...
Oh my God, I think me and Max Verstappen might be long lost soulmates. I can't believe I just said that.
You can't say that, we're all Hamilton fans. Yeah, no,
I'm a Hamilton fan as well, so I don't know why I've said that.
My sister's in Dubai right now. She saw Verstappen yesterday in a restaurant, and her boyfriend was like, I'm not letting you go over because I hate him.
Did she go over?
No, it was Verstappen and Perez. They were just with like Red Bull people. They saw them passing.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Why weren't they in knots? That's my question.
They should have been at the Red Bull thing yesterday.
Yeah.
The
car,
why didn't they show up to our little event yesterday? It's honestly disrespectful to your
that would be an SRA in the bag if that happened.
Yeah. easy peasy. But what does everyone think to Verstappen's decision not to be in it because of the drama? Do you think it was a good decision? Probably easiest for Amrit to answer, seeing as she's seen it. But
I mean, I don't blame him, because I was watching it and my housemate Jake was like, who's the evil guy, when they showed a bit of Verstappen. And I was like, that's Verstappen, he's not got any interviews though for that reason, because that was like his first
he knew he was going to be portrayed evil.
Because even though he's not in it, I feel like he's still portrayed as a bad guy.
I feel like through not being in something,
it makes it even worse.
Because people have been talking about it a lot, the fact that he's not in it. So.
Publicity stunt.
Probably.
Yeah, to be fair. Mm.
No press is bad press, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
No, I feel like if he was in it, at least he would have had some control over like what he could say in interviews and how he was presented. But the fact that he's pulled out means Netflix can just do whatever they want and like show it in whatever light that they want.
Yeah.
But then I like kind of respect his decision, like why he wouldn't want to be a part of it, and like he just wants to focus on the racing and stuff.
I think he's quite an old-fashioned racer. He doesn't really care about the press or social media or anything like that. He's kind of there to race, which I respect, but then you aren't going to be the most liked when you've got people like Lando Norris streaming for his fans on Twitch all the time. Like, fans like it when, you
who
know,
cares if you're liked if you win, to be honest.
Also true. Like, I mean, I'm not getting paid as much as him, so who am I to judge? But yeah, I mean, I think his decision not to be in Drive to Survive was an interesting one. But I do think when he was in the earlier seasons, like, you know, with all the Ricardo plotline, I think he was kind of portrayed a bit villainous at times. So, I mean, I completely understand his decision, but at the same time, it would have been nice, yeah, nice to see him in it, I think.
I think even when they have showed him in this season, it's a lot of like sneaky conversations that Netflix have just recorded at like the back of his head while he's talking to him on.
That's a scandal.
Yeah, so it doesn't portray him in the best light anyway. So, yeah.
Is Daniel Ricciardo still in it a lot? Like, did they focus a
lot?
Yeah,
he is. Well, I mean, when he was having as bad of a season as he was, they couldn't avoid it, unfortunately. It wasn't like, didn't present him in, you know, the best way, I wouldn't say, just because his performances weren't his best.
Tell you what, he was the quickest ever F1 driver around the Top Gear track, so the man's fallen for
wow, that's a big achievement. And, you know, I think he's a great driver, but this year just wasn't, like last year now, just wasn't his best. But I mean, we'll see what he can do this year. We've got a few minutes left. Emily, do you have any F1 related questions that you'd like
have
us
you got
to
a fantasy team
answer?
Well, okay, so we've Holly Mann started up a fantasy team.
Yes,
or fantasy league.
Yes,
I am yet to make my team. Now I won't faff around looking for the link, but can I ask you each for a recommendation of who? I don't know, how many people do I get?
You get five
drivers and then one team.
Okay, so can I ask you each for a recommendation, and then let me write the
there's a pen there if you need a pen, but you've got
just remember
phone.
Who spent more time on this show and who you should sabotage and not sabotage to make win.
Do you get recommendations?
We have spoken
I've already made
about
my
it.
Team
okay, we have spoken about it a little bit. I did reveal my team to the listeners in case I feel like people are going to be copying now.
Yeah,
because obviously
that was a good decision.
Everyone knows that I'm so good at this.
That being said, Amrit, you disagreed though, based on the constructor that Jonas had to go with.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gone for Aston.
I wouldn't have done if I'd had more than 11 million left.
So would you sacrifice somebody to get a better? Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
I would. Contemplate.
So no team is perfect. There's
I'm contemplating,
and you're only as strong as your weakest.
I'd recommend. See, the thing is with Hamilton and Verstappen, they're both very, very expensive. So if you put them in there, you kind of have to centre your whole team
around them.
So you've got to either make the decision to commit to one of them and go with that, and then pick, like, you know, some smaller drivers around the edges. Or you have to kind of pick, like, maybe some, like, that aren't quite as expensive, maybe like your kind of Ferrari and McLaren drivers, and then you kind of, you're all equal, but you probably won't be able to afford like a standout kind of one. So it's all about strategy. And as Jack was saying, his strategy is to have Mercedes as his team and hope that works out. I've gone for kind of big driver names in mind. There's a lot of ways you can do it, but it's you can just pick the ones you find the fittest. You just pick.
Yeah.
You could just pick the five most attractive ones.
That's gonna be a hard decision because it is a sport. It is a good looking sport. I have
it
to say.
Yeah. And I mean, we have condemned Christian Horner's comments where he said that girls only watch it because the drivers are attractive, because that is obviously not true.
I was going to say, during the sport, though, you can barely see it. I mean,
why would that be your only reason for watching it? You can't even, like, see what they
look. It's not my only reason, but, however.
It's just an added bonus.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, you could just do that. I've picked some pretty good-looking ones for mine, completely by chance, obviously. But yeah, that's kind of my advice. Either pick a really strong driver as your main guy and then kind of sacrifice maybe having other ones, or just go for some like solid like midfield all-rounders and then hopefully
see how it goes.
They'll have some good performances. Yeah, Jack, you said you've gone for Mercedes.
Yeah,
my team
is Mercedes, and then I've forgotten this is my name. So I've got a guy who I'm going to have to take out because apparently he's rubbish now. And that was Yuki Tsunoda. And then I've got...
Tsunoda.
I'm laughing at how bad he was. But
no, that would have made me a northern.
We've figured out Jack is by far the most northern person out of us.
Including you. You're from Norfolk.
I know.
And then we've got Mick Schumacher, then George Russell, who is probably my biggest name.
George Russell's from Norfolk.
Is he?
Is he?
Wow. He's from Norfolk.
Yeah. Oh, see, I do know something.
And then Leclerc. Oh, yeah,
George Russell's girlfriend is on my recently searched.
Is he single?
He is not.
No.
Not many of them are, unfortunately.
And then, what was that guy from Alfa Romeo who I couldn't pronounce?
Guan Yu Zhou.
Yeah, that guy. Nice. He was just because I had that amount of money left.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, so. And then Mercedes is my team, and they're obviously the best team, so. Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to. Sort of we've not got. Oh, walking around with stars here.
Yeah. He's still starstruck, bless him. I just hope it doesn't, for his sake, not that I don't like Williams, but I hope for his sake it doesn't happen where Williams actually are really good now, and he's left at the wrong time. I'd love to see Williams do well, but not for Russell's sake, but yeah, we'll see. Anyway, we better get off air before Izzy gets too mad at us.
I'm sure you're welcome to stay. I think all Izzy's doing is giving us a quiz of some sort, isn't she?
Yes,
I
think so.
But we could play a song because I would like to go and eat some more of my chicken platter.
Yes, you go for that. We've got some The Wanted and then some McFly.
We
had some One Direction before as well. We're in a bit of a boy band phase tonight. But
McFly aren't a boy band. They play their own instruments. Let's.
They're good looking boys in a band. I'm just saying.
True.
He was boy in band.
Pink Cookie Point is single as well. If anyone.
Hello. Do you have his number?
Yeah, let me just give him a... If I had his number, I would not be here right now. Wherever they are.
Honestly. But yeah, anyway, hope you enjoy the McFly after that comment. But we've got some The Wanted first. And yeah, thank you for listening, everyone. We've been Girls in Pole Position plus Jack and Emily for URN Sport. And make sure you tune in to the first race of the season this weekend. And we'll be back with a review of it sometime next week. But bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.